I'm Doug Nadvornik. When you sit inside the Capitol building in Olympia or Boise or any other building where elected officials meet, it's not always a good idea to throw rocks, political or otherwise. So how do legislators conduct themselves in situations where emotions are sometimes intense? How do things actually get done despite contentious political climates and diverging agendas? How can legislators overcome their differences and accomplish something for their states and their communities? For this podcast, we asked current Washington State Representative Marcus Riccielli and former Washington State Senator Michael Baumgartner, their politically different yet occasional allies, to explain how that happens. Retired lobbyist Tom Parker, who has often walked in the spaces between them, asks the questions. During this pandemic, we're restricted to electronic meetings, and so the recorded sound is a bit uneven.
One of the hallmarks, I think, of my friends and people in the Capitol are, you know, who do you believe, right? Who can you trust? What source of information do you base your decisions on? Because there's just so much instant news going on out there. I started in Olympia in 82, and the environment, you know, it's changed. The people have changed. The times have changed. But I think it's still a very cordial, collegial place to do business. As a lobbyist working with legislators like yourself, I think one thing that you share some philosophical differences, significant philosophical differences. But one thing you've always put above everything else is the district and doing what's right for Spokane. And as a result, we got two medical schools going in. District 81 is a gem. So with that, I'd like you just to do a brief introduction of yourself, why you chose to go down to Olympia, and then I'd like you to finish with how much do you rely on your wife in your decision-making? Both of you are family men, you have kids and wives that also sacrifice for your political, I'd say, gift that you give the community because both of you work so hard at it. So why don't we start with you, Marcus?
Sure. Hi, I'm State Representative Marcus Riccielli. I first got elected in 2012. You know, my passion is around delivering for the community. I'm a Spokane kid, born and raised. And, you know, now that I'm raising my own family, my wife, Amanda, and I want them, but, you know, their friends, our neighbors, kids across Spokane to have even better opportunities than we had. And working in a bipartisan fashion is what gets things done still. And we're not the other Washington, thankfully. And so I'm pleased about that. The question around kind of the family support is key and how it impacts. I certainly would say that it's a strain on the family being apart, but what we're able to get done, I took my kids and my family to the Waikiki Springs project that I worked on this last session, and we were hiking around, and I got to show them that, and I said, this is some of the things we're able to get done when we come together, and they were proud of that, and now that they're going through civics classes and stuff, they understand government a lot better than their peers, which I'm grateful for, particularly in this time. You know, that's kind of the gist of it. We're very thankful that you're willing to do this. Mike and I have talked a lot about, you know, it'd be great someday. And we're both busy folks and probably weren't going to get around to sitting to write about it until 20 years from now over a beer. And so this is great because we actually talked a lot about the dance of legislation of the WSC Medical School and how it came to be.
Yeah, we'll get back to that because that's something I think is really a hallmark of the collaboration you two achieved and a real success for Spokane. Treasurer Baumgartner.
You know, for me, why I wanted to go to Olympia, so I served 8 years in the state Senate from 2011 to 2018 and have been the treasurer here back in Spokane, back home since 2018. You know, throughout my life, I've always enjoyed most of the things that I've done. I've done a lot of different things, but when you're part of something that feels bigger than yourself, I really have enjoyed those times. After WSU and before I went to Harvard, I spent a year as a volunteer with the Jesuits in Africa. And had that sense of doing something bigger than myself, and then went to the private sector and went to Iraq and Afghanistan with the State Department. And again, like that kind of big challenge team atmosphere. And then thought, well, let's give the state legislature a try. Back in 2010, beat an incumbent Democrat. It was really kind of a disadvantaged race because his campaign manager was a little bit limited in that race. I only say that as a joke because Marcus, ironically, was the campaign manager, my first opponent, and which I think is probably part of the good story here. You know, I really enjoyed Olympia because forcing mechanisms in Olympia, I think, unlike the other Washington, D.C., that force you to work together. You know, we had the majority in the Senate as Republicans for 6 of the 8 years that I was there. But we never had the House or the governor's seat. So every piece of legislation I ever worked on or sponsored, I had to find Democrats that were willing to support those pieces of legislation to actually get those things passed. And something as big as the medical school we'll talk about really was a team effort. And the best things that we ever did for Spokane really were team efforts, which doesn't mean that we ever set aside, you know, I'm a conservative Republican that believes in fiscal responsibility and personal rights and personal mobility and those sorts of things. But you can work within that framework with somebody like Marcus, who has his own views about how government and the size. And I think we did that pretty well. So it's fun to be able to chat about those things.
Yeah, I really appreciate those comments from both of you, because I think one of the joys that I had working as a lobbyist with the two of you was that there was a lot of communication that was going on as we were working on just a variety of things. One of the things about Olympia I was told when I first came down there was the mentor told me it's like being a kid in a candy store. What he meant was is that you deal with transportation, you deal with healthcare, you deal with education. I mean, you really can pick and choose what interests you and attracts you, but also recognizing that your choices are going to impact our community. Marcus, I know you've worked on healthcare and really focused on that. Senator Baumgartner, we'll get back to you in a minute. But Marcus, tell us a little bit about your involvement in the medical school and then how we went from having one medical school to two medical schools.
It started with a conversation in Kendall Yards, but what I think both Mike and I like to talk about is that prior to that, there was this foundation, the community came together. We got to the opportunity, somebody basically came with the baton handed out. We knew that last bit was going to take a lot of work, but we benefited from years of people laying the foundation, whether it be the investments in the actual infrastructure at the River Point campus. But one thing that I know is that one, we need more access to healthcare in our community, particularly and in our rural areas. And a lot of people forget how important our rural communities are to the survival of Spokane, and that we have thriving rural areas as well. Also, what people forget too is when those primary care docs leave those rural communities, that's a big hit to those communities. From another standpoint, we've banked a lot of our future around the healthcare sector in Spokane, and both Mike and I would talk about the benefits of biomedical research, et cetera, that could come to fruition if we started this thing along. For me, the interest was really around healthcare access, quality, affordable access, particularly in the primary care arena. And I think UW does a great job, but we heard too many stories of students that wanted to be locally grown here and trained and go out into these communities and succeed in providing a quality primary care. And so that really keyed in with me and was the real trigger from my standpoint. I didn't come to the legislature with a healthcare background. I immediately went to the healthcare committee because I saw the value and the importance in being on that committee and engaging. For me, that driver really was more access. And it just became bigger than just that. I mean, this is a statewide issue. I came into it initially from a very community selfish standpoint. And I don't think Mike and I probably, you know, we agree, you know, we want to do great things for the state, but first and foremost, we were there to make sure we were delivering for Spokane, but it was so much bigger than Spokane.
And Senator Baumgartner, Treasurer Baumgartner now, you arrived in the legislature, and you, as you pointed out earlier, it has been a very interesting mix in Washington State because the Senate was controlled by the Republicans for 6 of your 8 years. And when you arrived on the scene, you actually had a lot of cachet because of helping to secure that Senate majority, having defeated a Democratic incumbent. How did that influence your initial engagement in Olympia? And then tell us how you got involved with the medical school. What brought it to your attention and why was it so important?
Thanks, Tom. Well, when I came into Olympia in 2011, you know, we had not taken the majority quite yet at that point, but we had picked up 4 new seats. And of our 4 freshmen, which were all pretty talented freshmen, Andy Hill, Steve Litso, Joe Fain, and myself, I was the only one that served on Ways and Means. And at that time, the state was in a real budget challenge because even though the Democrats had the majority in 2011, they were still coming out of the Great Recession and the Obama stimulus money had run out and they were really having challenges with the budget. So that time, Senate Majority Leader Lisa Brown had gone to the leadership of the Republicans and had an agreement they were going to have a real bipartisan budget process. So my introduction to Olympia was really having a real seat at the table and having to participate in that give and take. But when we did that budget process in 2011, I did a big bill on reforming state government with Governor Gregoire, which I enjoyed. But my least favorite part of that process was that budget made significant cuts to higher education. and was going to, there was a bill passed that year that was going to take away the legislature's responsibility for setting tuition and give that to the region solely. So it would kind of wash the legislature's hands of it. And I fought that bill very hard. Even though that bill passed, I just didn't like how it sat with higher education in this state. I was somebody that came from a middle class or upper middle class background and had done really well with quality, affordable, accessible higher education in this state, had gone to WSU myself and had seen how it had been such a piece of social mobility and great ideas. And I was just a big fan of higher ed. And from a political standpoint, you know, I really thought that Democrats had abandoned higher ed to prioritize some other things, such as social welfare services and other things. So you can have a policy debate on those. But there were real cuts to higher education. When Republicans took the majority in 2013 in a bipartisan fashion, you know, I advocated to our caucus, we need to do something big and bold and something really different. What I argued is that we should actually refund that higher education and actually cut college tuition. And we did it. So we were the first state in the country to ever do a significant reduction in the price of college tuition. And that was something that, you know, I led on and helped put together. So I was a big fan of higher ed for our caucus. And then I'm just a very proud Coug. And how we got to the medical school is there was a, you know, 100-year law that was just a ridiculous bad law that gave a monopoly on medical education in this state to one university. And I'm somebody that believes in competition. Without competition, you don't get innovation, you don't get good service. And so we just, for the good of the state, and particularly for a community like Spokane with so many doctors and Eastern Washington with some unserved areas, we know we needed to fix that. So I was interested in the subject matter, and we'd done some funding in the budget in 2014 for the WAMI program. But I remember very vividly in the summer of 2014, and I think it was in September, Elson Floyd invited me to come down to, who was then the president of WSU, inviting me to Churchill Steakhouse with some of their lobbyists and government affairs with some of their regents. I remember because I almost forgot the meeting and I was painting my house. And so I showed up at Churchill's with paint all over my arms, kind of like Will Smith in that movie where he's a homeless guy and goes for the job interview covered by painting. But, you know, Elson asked me to prime sponsor the bill in the Senate and quarterback it. The bill at that very memorable dinner. And we kind of laid out, you know, a strategy, how that would go, you know, and I just remember thinking that Marcus would really be a great counterpart because while we had the majority in the Senate, Democrats had the majority in the House and it was in Marcus's district. And I knew that, you know, he would be a fighter on the bill and had shown a lot of interest. And so that's kind of how we, you know, how we got into it. And certainly as we go on in the podcast, I can give you some of the behind the stories details, you know, in that process as well, too.
I do want to note, Tom, that he got the Churchill's dinner. My was not there, so I'm going to have to.
As a matter of fact, when you dine with your seatmate Tim Worsby, his favorite place to go is McDonald's. He's a true to heart guy. In addition to that, you both, I mean, anybody in Spokane can drive by that riverfront campus and take real pride in the accomplishment that only occurred because of, I think, the bipartisan support. Treasurer Baumgartner, you mentioned earlier that you thought Marcus would be a good guy to work with. How did you know you could trust Marcus, and how do you approach someone from a different party? Do you have a sense that partisanship is going to involve itself, or how do you approach that when you're trying to put something together for Spokane?
Well, you know, from my background, having spent a lot of time overseas and having been a diplomat in the State Department, you know, I kind of approach it like some of the things I did with Iraqis, you know, during the surge, which is we may not agree on everything, but what's our goal here in this specific arena and what do we share in common? And while Marcus and I, you know, have some big disagreements on some pretty foundational pieces of government, it doesn't mean that we can't work within that. And the thing about the medical school was it really didn't hit any of those, you know, those touch points that make things complicated from that standpoint. You know, it wasn't a touchy social issue. It wasn't an issue of taxes. It wasn't an issue of labor law or some of those things that can be divisive. It was really what's the need and what's the principle. And the need was we needed more doctors. And the principle was it's absurd that you would restrict or monopolize medical education. I mean, no other state would do that. And if you look at the history of that law, it was really 100 years ago, University of Washington made a land grab and tried to take a lot of the state endowment for WSU. And got this bizarre law that monopolized, you know, why would you only want one institution teaching somebody how to save a life or provide medical care? It just doesn't make any sense. It wasn't difficult. And in terms of, you know, Marcus's ability, I remember that Churchill dinner, you know, there was kind of, we had a pretty frank discussion of who in the House, you know, should lead the effort and who would be there. And there were some talks about it. I do know that, you know, that Marcus would be tenacious, or that was my instinct on it, because he believed in good policy. And, you know, and even for a University of Washington graduate, you know, he had those abilities. You know, I'm joking with some of this, but, you know, and then we did an op-ed together that kind of laid out the case to the community and kind of announced that we would be co-sponsoring the bill. It was really a good team effort. And then the other thing that was just really impressive when we were early on in the process with Marcus was, you know, how many sponsors he got in the House. To be fair, a lot of that was because of Marcus's ability. You know, the biggest reason this bill passed was because the community needed it. It was a good bill. But, you know, Elson Floyd was as skilled a politician, I think, as this state has ever seen. You know, and it really laid the groundwork. When I talked to Elson about it at that dinner, you know, my two rules were, because it was going to cost a lot of political capital. And what I, you know, I said was, I need to know if you're getting a governor's veto and if this thing is going to go. Because when we announced that bill, the UW fought it hard. They fought it like monopolists. You know, they lined up Dan Evans to be against it, Slade a little bit. They had University of Washington donors that were also my political donors were calling me, telling me not to run the bill. And then they put some prominent members of this community on the UW payroll to try to fight that bill. And so there was a lot going on behind that bill, and it was going to cost a lot of political capital and horse trading to some extent. And so the deal was, Elson, you know, we're in this to win. And I got to know if there's a veto, because I'm not going to go through this stuff if Inslee is going to veto it. You know, he got a commitment from Jay that he would stand down and sign it if it made it to his desk. You know, Inslee didn't do a particular lot of work or lifting on the bill, but he did, you know, not veto it. So any of it, Marcus, after all that, you know, background and preparation that that Jay had done, I mean, it was astounding how many sponsors that Marcus got for the bill in the House. I think it was close to 70. Marcus, maybe you remember the exact number, but just really, really impressive amount.
Marcus, what'd you think of this young whippersnapper senator showing up on the scene and immediately sort of asserting himself as the way Senator Baumgartner was possesses a lot of self-confidence, which I really admired. And I, at first, you know, I thought, well, this is going to be an acquired taste. But the more I worked with them, I realized he was a man of his word. As a lobbyist and working with the legislators, by far the most important. So, Marcus, to you, your thoughts on, I'm teeing this one up for you, brother.
I guess my first thought is, if you're going all in on something, you want to work with somebody, and Mike's good about, we need to get buzz for something. Like, it wasn't round zero for it. We had a lot of support that had come in, but, you know, from the legislative side of things, there were people scoffing at it. And I too, you know, Norm Dix, I think, was part of the crew that was, so there were folks on both sides of that, the aisle, power political folks that were coming in to undo this. But for Mike, he really does, and we joke about it sometimes, but he helps capture the attention of the issue at hand so that we are able to promote it and get the message out. And for me, I've never really been one of those folks who believe that the number of sponsors matters until those very few times when it does. And this was one of those cases where I was trying to send a message to the House, but particularly my Democratic colleagues, that there was an inevitability of this, even though we knew that it was going to be a tough fight. And you talk about trusting each other. Mike and I, you would say, we played off the fact that people would say, well, now that these folks are going after this, you know, the big issue is going to be who's going to, if it gets there, who's going to have the, get the bill across the line. And you know, Mike and I knew that, and we played that to our advantage. And one of the things Mike did say, though, is, hey, you know, go get more than 50 signatures and you get it across the line, we'll get it out. And one of the interesting parts of the story, we're jumping way ahead, but in the Senate, when that bill was pulled out of rules, it wasn't pulled by a Democratic senator. You know, it was actually pulled by Senator Schessler. And, you know, we had these moments at every piece where the work that was being done converged. And again, all credit to Elson Floyd, who was masterful. And he had those relationships. He had those conversations that started with a handshake that drew you into a hug. I mean, that's how you felt. But he connected with everybody he worked with. So we were also taking the place by storm because people weren't ready for that. And it started with the op-ed, but it carried throughout the process. And there was a couple key points where it was really hanging in the balance on the House side. And my whole goal was to get it over because I knew that Mike would get it done if we could get it over there. Yeah, some really fun points where it really hung in the balance, including one of my Democrat colleagues hanging an amendment on abortion on the bill, including the chair of appropriations hanging a $30 million amendment. and us working together and me working with my Republican colleagues to make sure that that amendment was taken off the table. So there's a lot of exciting stuff. I don't know how much time we have to get into it.
I think we'll leave the details, but I think you've really enlightened folks, and it's been helpful to hear this kind of backroom conversation. I wanted to move on to another subject that if we don't mind, that is quite remarkable as well. And I remember when Senator Brown left as the majority leader, Senator West left as majority leader, people kept saying, well, Spokane is not going to be as successful. Well, guess what? You got two medical schools, but you also were successful in getting the North-South Freeway funding, which had been talked about forever. You've got the City Line now, which is coming in. And so another big area has been transportation. And I know, Senator Baumgartner, at the time you were on Ways and Means, but you voted for a tax. And maybe start with you, Representative Vercelli. How did you approach that issue? And how did it turn out to be so successful in the end?
We saw what happened in the past where other delegations worked together and did better than our community. And we wanted to reverse the trend. You know, we were getting 80 cents back for every dollar we put in as far as projects in this area. And we came out of it with $1.30. And that was because, you know, when you talk about the trust, Senator Bonger and I have a lot of disagreements, particularly over his lack of skill, basketball court. But when he said, you know, we can do this, and that he was going to vote for it, it was partially because we had worked on the medical school. But when he says it, he stuck to his word. And that is something that you can see for folks who are successful in Olympia or not, that is crucial down there to getting stuff done. And that was part of the deal that came through. Quite frankly, easier for us to take that vote in the third district. But what made us able to get as great as a deal as we did out of it and make sure that we were delivering for our community was the fact it was bipartisan and people stuck to their word. And honestly, we could have gotten more with a little more votes. But I think we did pretty dang well. If we look back at that, we had some missteps. Our delegation saw what other delegations had done in the past to be successful. And we took that and I think ran with it.
It sure felt historic for me. I want to switch to you, Senator Baumgartner, because you did take a tax vote. You've talked about political courage, standing in for what you believe. How difficult was that? And where did the trust factor work with the delegation enter into your equation?
I guess, you know, this all came together and it's very tied to the medical school, in fact. But, you know, we did all these big things in 2015. So we did the medical school, we did the transportation package, and we did the tuition reduction, 20%, 15 to 20% tuition reduction, historic. And it was all in 2015. In reality, behind the scenes, they're all tied together. You know, I was first elected in the 2010 election, so 2011 through 2014. And when I got to Olympia, I got pretty good at counting votes and knowing where things were going to go. And at the end of that 2014 session, the Democrats in the House had passed an initial transportation package. The governor had talked about it. And, you know, I'm not a dumb guy. I could see where it was going to go. And so if you looked at the needs, that particularly in the I-5 corridor, where most of the population, where the votes were, I knew there was something that was going to happen. So a key piece to me was telling my voters that I might very well be doing this, because when you're an elected official, what you don't want to do is do something that you said you weren't going to do. So when I ran for re-election in 2014, you know, I was very clear to newspaper reporters. And in fact, I even went to the most conservative group in Spokane and made sure to tell them directly that I might very well likely be in a position where I would be voting for a transportation package. And I explained it would be because it would be to protect them, that if this freight train was coming down the ropes, I wasn't going to they're going to get the tax either way. And I could participate in it and shape it and get more money for Spokane and protect our interests and have some significant reforms. So that was really a key piece to it, was to message it ahead of time. So we did that in 2015. And when you look at that package, the other piece was the North-South had always been something that had been talked about, you know, and Governor Inslee had originally proposed half a North-South freeway, just taking it down to the river. And there are some other people in the House kind of doing smaller packages. And I said, no, if we're taking this vote, we're going the whole way. Well past time that we need this money. We need to be big and bold. And so within our caucus, the reason I want to stay on the med school was, you know, I remember Bob Ferguson, the attorney general, being in my office and telling me that, you know, we'd never get the medical school. And I told him directly that I'd burn the Capitol down before I let us not get it. I mean, verbatim. But, you know, we had some members of the I-5 area in the Senate Republican caucus who didn't want the med school, but they really wanted expansion of 405 and were getting a lot of pressure from some key constituent groups, including Microsoft and Boeing. And so we just kind of all brought it all together in that historic 2015 year is kind of how it's related. At the end of the day, it all goes back to policy. You know, our area, the economic development that can come from significant increased infrastructure, what the North-South Freeway will do for underserved areas like Hilliard and Northeast Washington, it's just good policy. You know, it happens to be good policy. You know, if you don't have a road and you want a new road, you got to pay for it somehow. And I think it's the fiscally responsible thing to do to actually not go deeper into debt, but to pay for it, the people are going to use it. And so, you know, as Marcus had mentioned, we had got previous transportation packages, Spokane was paying more in than they were getting out. Whereas in this package with our votes, you know, we had the west side of the state finally paying for Spokane. And so, you know, I do think it was a good deal. And you know, again, just in a very historic 2015 year with those big things that we did.
I want to wrap up, but I want to say a couple things. One is that part of the enjoyment of working in Olympia, it is not a great debate society. It's a beginning, middle, and an end. And an end of 105 days, it might go a little overtime, but you've got to get to the decision. And I think the hallmarks of the two of you has been, and to the benefit of Spokane, that sense of belonging, that sense of working towards the common goal. As you look now back and forward, two questions I have for you. Do you think that we are going to see sort of a deterioration of this kind of cooperation because of what seems to be happening in the public dialogue? And then number two, what do you see as the biggest challenge and the greatest opportunity for Spokane? I know that's a big question, but as you look back and forward. Marcus?
I think there's kind of two camps now in Olympia. It's the folks that and both sides of the aisle, they disagree with each other, and then they're done. And that's really unfortunate. And then you have another camp where they'll be debating stuff or aggressively trying to pass a bill, et cetera. And the next bill up, they'll be working together. And I'm still in that camp, and I think there's still enough of those folks. I still think we're not the other Washington. I do think that the rhetoric doesn't help. I think the social media push is something that's bringing a new kind of heightened rhetoric that just is not very helpful, but it's part of the world we live in right now. So I think I'm really excited about how we can continue to move in those things where we can have those honest discussions, debates. And, you know, it's a little bit naive. I coached YNC Youth Legislature. I think we should put more civics back in the classroom, et cetera. But I think we're going to have a reset regardless of who wins a civil election, because people are just tired and they want to see government work and they want people to get along to get stuff done. And I hope that's a hallmark of my career. And I think some of these things we talked about today are a big piece of how we make that happen. As far as biggest challenges, a budget is a reflection of our values as a state. We're in some real interesting times, and how we navigate that is going to be the most important thing we can do.
Treasurer Baumgartner.
I do worry about the direction of Olympia. I think a lot of the voices that could fight hard on one issue but work on other issues, I think a lot of those voices are starting to go away. And quite frankly, in this state, I think our state is moving significantly to the left and taking on a lot of that very radical Seattle look. And so I'd like to see Republicans balance things up a little bit more. And, you know, we'll see how it goes in these elections. But I think it would be good for the state. You know, the Twitterization, when I was in Olympia, I used Twitter a lot. But boy, where it's gone now is really, I don't think productive to the legislative lawmaking process. So, you know, I have some concerns about that, but as long as there's good, well-meaning people that want to step up and serve, and, you know, I'm optimistic. In terms of Spokane, you know, we've done a lot for higher education here and some of the bills we've talked about. You know, I think we need to do a lot more in Spokane on the VOTEC side, you know, the trades, you know, the skills, and do fill out the economic opportunities for those folks that don't fit into a traditional four-year. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity here in Spokane to build on some of those areas. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about the North-South Freeway eventually getting in for the, you know, the Hilliard area and some of those other areas. But I think we need to make sure that there's policies in Spokane that aren't focused just on downtown and that aren't focused just on the elite, or maybe elite's the wrong word, but on certain aspects of the knowledge economy. I think we have to work on policies that are good for everybody in Spokane and certainly that blue collar base.
I do have one last question I want to get to, and that is this whole notion, we've been voting by mail for a long time. Do you have concerns that there's potential for voter fraud? And what do you think we should be doing in terms of encouraging participation? And both of you gentlemen, I think, have exhibited the standard that I think of is what makes a good legislator. You listen, you work hard, and your word is always good. So do you trust the voting system? And what do you think we can be doing to encourage more participation in the system? Treasurer Baumgartner?
Well, I do have some concerns about our voter system, because perception and trust in the voter system is really, really important. In our state, there's been, going back to the Rossi Gregoire election in 2006, there's still a sentiment of distrust on the right about what happened in that election. And in recent legislative sessions, the Democrats have sort of pushed the envelope on some same day registration, trying to register people under the age 18. And the perception of what's going on in those elections weakens, I think, whether it's reality or not. The perception matters quite a bit. I do worry about this election, even though I think we've had a good vote by mail system. When you continue to push that to the edge in a way that primarily helps one political party by the party in majority, it weakens the trust in the election process. And if you don't have that, I do think it's a concern. In terms of civic participation, I think Marcus does a great job as one of the best legislators about getting young people from Spokane over to Olympia, working with YMCA. When I was there, I always did something called Shadow Your Senator, where anybody could, any constituent could call me up and come over and spend a day with me and see those things. And so I think it is really important to get young people involved, and not even just young people, but every common person, because, the barriers to entry to our government, really to participate in our democracy, aren't that high, but there's a perception that they could be high. And I applaud Marcus and other legislators that do things to get folks involved.
Marcus?
We've had a nice conversation, some of the differences of opinions. Like I think we have a Republican Secretary of State who talks about how safe and secure our elections are. I think that when we get more participation, I do support things like 16, 17-year-old pre-registration, that we'll get a better process. The message is coming from the top, and I think it's unfortunate. I do think we're in really concerning times when people are talking about adhering to peaceful transition of power. And when you have people that are talking about one polling place in large counties so that people are waiting for hours, I think that goes against what we want in a robust democracy. And I think we can come together, but it does need to be safe and secure. And I think that the vote by mail, particularly in states that are doing it, I have all the trust in what we're doing right now. And I'm glad that we're having such turnout. I think the way that our signature matching goes, et cetera, is top of the line. But we can always make improvements, because we want people to have that trust. But we also just don't want people out there spreading that distrust in our process. I think it inflames where we're headed. So, and as far as just getting people involved, yeah, definitely. I think one of my regrets is I talked about legislation on civics, et cetera. And I was really, from my own caucus members, a couple of them pushed away from doing that. And I just think it's more important than ever how people participate in the public square, and we need to be doing more. With the youth legislature program, these students would learn how to debate respectfully and have differences. And, I just hope some of our adults would emulate that more. And it's tense times, but the more we can do to get people in the process. And one of the benefits about this COVID situation, which there aren't many, is that the way that people are going to participate electronically in process in Olympia will change. I just got off a JLEC committee for aging and disability. We had over 100 people sign up, and it was done virtually. And there's been moves to make that process more accessible for people. And I think we should promote that here in our community, because it's a long way from here to Olympia.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking this time this afternoon, and also on behalf of the community, accomplishments, your family men, your legislators, your business people. You really exemplify, I think, what was embodied in our Constitution of having a citizen legislature. So thank you very much for your time, and we'll hopefully have more opportunities to talk again. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
You've been listening to Washington State Representative Marcus Riccelli, former Washington State Senator Michael Baumgartner, who is currently the Spokane County Treasurer, and former lobbyist Tom Parker. They've been discussing not just how legislation is made, but more to the point, how to get to yes in Olympia. Thank you for joining us in this program of I Don't Know What to Believe. The program is produced by Carrie Boyce. I'm Doug Nadvornik.